Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the LifePoint Christian Church podcast. Let's get started.
What story is shaping your life? I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way, but what story is shaping your life? Because every single one of us is living inside a story. My sixth grade teacher was this big, huge, burly type guy, and his parents must have liked cars because they named him Edsel Mercury Ford. And Mr. Ford, again, big, burly, gruff type guy, and he must have been like that because he was named Edsel Mercury Ford. He would often say to me and look at me with that deep voice, "What's your story, Morning Glory?" And he would say that often, and so much so that I think of that often. I find myself saying that to other people from time to time. And so I ask you, what's your story, Morning Glory? Because you have a story. And something or someone is shaping that story. And that story, believe it or not, is actually running your life. And so think about this. If you believe that success is what is going to give your life story value, man, you're going to be going after and hunting after and chasing success. If you believe that money is going to be part of your story and bring your life story security, you're going to start to organize your life around getting more of it. If you believe that your true worth comes from, and that's writing your story, if you believe that that worth comes from what other people think about you, that's shaping and dictating a lot of the decisions that you make, because you are going to spend your life trying to make decisions so that you can earn somebody else's approval. The stories that we believe, those become the lives that we live. Now, here's the problem. Not every story that's been told to you, not all those stories are telling the truth. Every day we have different voices competing for our attention and trying to tell us who we are, trying to tell us, hey, this is what needs to matter the most to you. And this is where we think you need to focus on. This is where we think you need to place your hope. Culture, that has a story for you. Social media has a story for you. Politics, that definitely has a story for you. And advertisers have a story for you as well. And their story always ends with you buying something you didn't know you needed 5 minutes earlier. So about two weeks ago, Heather and I, we were on a walk with some friends. And we were talking, and as we were walking, something came up as we were walking, and it reminded me of this TV show. And I was curious if they have ever watched this TV show. And it's a show that I watch, and I just crack up at it. And so, but I can never remember the name of the TV show. And so every time I go to think about that particular TV show, a different movie pops up into my head, the name of that movie. They're not necessarily the same, but that's just my brain kind of gets stuck. And so I asked them, I said, hey, have you ever seen the show? It's not the movie Inglourious Basterds. It's the show Impractical Jokers. And some of you are already laughing because you watched that, right? I fell asleep to it last night. And if Sal's your favorite, raise your hand. Okay, so if you don't know that, go check it out. So anyway, I said that phrase, that movie name, Inglourious Basterds, one time out loud. I never typed it. I never searched for it. Never did anything else. I happened to be on my email 3 days later, and this showed up in my inbox. You have purchased a rental on Amazon Prime for $3.99 of the movie Inglourious Basterds. True story. I'm like, that's scary. I never again said anything about that. I never ordered it. I never bought it. That's freaky. There are billion-dollar companies listening. Literally listening. Why? Because they want to write your story. And they're getting very, very good at it. Apparently even doing things that are illegal. Like charging me for something I never rented. What's your story, Morning Glory? Somebody is writing your story. And so the question is who? So here's the idea that I want you to hold on to over these next few months as we journey together on this path that God has for us. And that's this. If you don't intentionally, everybody say intentionally. If you don't intentionally allow God to shape your life and write your story, the world gladly will. You're not going to accidentally become more like God, become more like Jesus. Spiritual growth is always intentional. The other side of the equation, the whole drift thing, that's actually just automatic. How do I know this? Because none of us are waking up one morning and saying, you know what, my goal, I'd like to destroy my marriage. We don't do that. It just kind of accidentally happens. We drift towards it, and some of us are suffering in a marriage, unfortunately. You don't want to wake up one day and say, hey, I hope my kids stop talking to me when they're adults one day. We don't wake up thinking that. Nobody decides, I'd really like to become bitter. I'd really like to be materialistic. I'd like to be anxious. That's my goal in life. You know, I'd like to be distant from God. But we do drift towards all of that if we aren't intentional, because drift is automatic. And it happens just in one busy season. It happens in one small compromise. One morning where you intend to open God's word and you don't. One prayer that you don't pray that turns into silence with you and God. And then one day you wake up and wonder, how did I get this far from where I intended to be? That's why I believe that this time, this season, could be one of the most important seasons in your life and in the life of the church. And so what we're doing that Pastor Derek talked about last week and we've been announcing to you is we're not launching some program. We're not asking you to complete a reading plan so you can just check off some spiritual box. That's not what we're doing. We are inviting each and every one of you, the entire church, to intentionally, everybody say intentionally, to intentionally immerse ourselves in the greatest story that's ever been told. It's the story that answers questions that you actually think about. What type of questions? There are questions like that will cross your mind, like, hey, God, who are you? Like, really? Who are you, God? God, why am I here? What? How do I fit into all this? And what's my purpose? Why, God, do so much of my life feels upsetting or broken or struggling so often? And God, what have you been doing since page one of this book that we call the Bible? You see, the Bible is not just a collection of helpful sayings and disconnected events. It's actually one unfolding story with one author, one rescue plan, one Savior, and one invitation to salvation, to life to the fullest. That's the invitation that God has for each and every one of us. And the reality is this, you and I, we will never fully understand our story and the story that's being written for us that we're a part of until we understand God and His story and how the two intersect. This here is my very first Bible. Started going to church when I was around 10 years old. My dad invited us or took us to church. And so on my 11th birthday, they gave me this Bible. And so on January 25th, 1982, San Juan Capistrano, by mom and dad, on the occasion of your 11th birthday, go with God. So I got my first Bible, super excited. But I never read it. Didn't know anything really about it other than I was at church and they had the Bibles. And so they gave this to me and I was like, okay, that's cool. And I want to read this. But I didn't understand it. And you went to the table of contents and you have all these, you know, what are called books. And I'm like, how am I going to know all this? What am I going to do? And so what did I do is I said, you know what? I need help to find things in this because it's intimidating. And so I did what a lot of people did back then before Amazon. And I went down to the local Christian bookstore. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of a Christian bookstore. Remember those things that used to exist? right? And I went down there, and it was Joy's Christian bookstore. Joy actually went to our church, and it was her bookstore. And I said, hey, I want to try to like find things quickly. And she says, oh, that's great. We have these little things called tabs that you attach to your Bible. And so you can quickly, when Pastor Boatman starts talking, you can quickly find things. Raise your hand if you ever put tabs on a Bible, if you're like been around church world. Okay, so a handful of you have done that, right? You remember those days. And so I'd see these tabs and I'd look at them and I'd go, okay, now I'm gonna read the Bible. And so I'd go through the tabs and I'd go, oh, this one looks cool. It's called lame. What is that one? And I open, I mean, just the fact that it says lame, you're like, okay, I'm interested. Which is Lamentations. Anyway, you know, there's only so many, you know, spaces to write words down. And so I'd start reading lame. And as I'm reading lame, 10 minutes later, I'm like, I have no idea what I just read. Close it up, put it on the desk. A few weeks later, I'd come back to it, and I'm like, okay, that wasn't really working out, so let me try something else. Prov, what's prov? And, you know, and so I'd start looking at these tabs, but I'd use it on Sunday morning, and the preacher would preach, and so that was kind of my pattern. I'd read it a little bit, didn't have a clue what I was reading, and then I'd put it back down. And maybe some of you were there as well, and maybe that was your story. I'd dip in and out of it, but it was never truly consistent. Looking back, here's what I know about teenage Chris. The problem wasn't finding what are called books of the Bible with these tabs. That was easy. I could figure that out. The problem was understanding how this whole thing fit together. That was the problem. How was this whole thing connected together? As time went on, I started to know the stories. The stories of Noah, the stories of David and Goliath and Daniel in the lion's den and Jonah and, hey, Jesus, he fed 5,000 people. I started knowing those, but for me, they were just a bunch of random, disconnected stories in this book that we call the Bible. And so that's one of the reasons we are walking through the story of God together. We want to see how all these tabs fit together. How from the very first tab called Jen, all the way to, what's it labeled there? Revy. How does Jen to Revy and everything in between fit together? And that's what we're about, and that's what we're trying to do. And we're going to see together that all these tabs that make the majority of them in what we call the Old Testament, all of those have a purpose, and they have quite a few purposes, and the main purpose, the primary purpose, is to eventually point to Jesus. And we're gonna see how they're not random, disconnected stories. It all fits together. It's a part of a bigger picture, a bigger story. The goal of for us to go through this is to see God's story, the truth. Jesus said, your word, God, your story is truth. And we're going to see this and understand it and how God's story is a part of our story and how it's all connected together, because we want God's voice to be louder than all the other competing voices that are trying to write our story. I want God to write my story. How about you? I want God to shape the way that I think, the way that I love and forgive and lead and parent and buy and spend. And I want God to shape how I act and react to challenges and difficulties and tribulations. I want God's story to affect my story and how I hope and how I celebrate. Why does all this matter for me and for you and for us as a church? And it's very simple. Because when you build your life on God's word, on God's story, here's what happens for you. You come alive, you thrive, and you're blessed beyond imagination. Jesus even said, I have a life for you in John 10:10. He said, it's called an abundant life. One translation says, real and better life than you could ever imagine. That's what he has for us. When we know his story and our story and how they intersect together. But we have to be intentional about it. Why? Because if we don't be intentional about it and go after that, we will drift from God and slowly become numb. And as we drift from God and we become numb, we miss out. We miss out on this amazing experience that God has for us, life to the fullest, real and better life than we could ever imagine. And so we want to know God's story and how his story intersects with our story. This opportunity that you have, blessings beyond your imagination, and this idea of like natural drift, it's a topic, it's a pattern that shows up over and over and over in Scripture. And so before Moses died, the Israelites, they are all getting ready to enter into the promised land. And many of you know this story, some of you know this story, and they're about to enter the promised land and experience blessings that they had never experienced in their life, because for generations, 400 years, all they knew was slavery. Moses knew blessing was coming. God was in their story, and they were in God's story, and blessings were coming in the promised land. And Moses understood something about human nature. Moses understood that when blessings come, when prosperity comes, it can produce spiritual amnesia. When goodness and greatness and blessings, when that flows in our life, it's easy to forget. When life's difficult, we tend to cling to God and pursue God, and we need God. But when life is good, we just kind of end up, you know, we praise God, but we don't really lean into God. So God gave Moses an important instruction, knowing that, hey, blessing, this is for you. And so we want to make sure you don't drift into spiritual amnesia. And so what did Moses tell him? Pastor Derek mentioned it briefly last week. God through Moses said, hey, I want you to tell the people that every 7 years, the entire nation, man, woman, and child, everybody, you gather together and you come to hear God's word from beginning to end, the entire story. The entire story. Every 7 years, this becomes a discipline of what you do. Why? Because they needed the reminder. They needed a reminder, and you and I need the reminder that if you build your life around God and his story, his word, you will flourish and you will thrive. Otherwise, you will drift from God. You'll eventually lose sight of God and even forget God. It's why you and I need the story, the word. It's why we need to gather for worship. It's why we need other believers in our lives. For Israel, for a while, they got it right. And after Moses led them, they were getting it right as Joshua took over and the nation continued to trust God and build their lives around his story and his truth. And God's story intersected with their story. They weren't perfect by any means, but they kept pursuing God's voice. Their story was for the most part aligned with God's story. Joshua died, and then everything changed. And it tells us in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it says, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things that God had done for them. Here's what another translation says. It says it this way. It says, they had no personal experience with the Lord. They had no what? Let's say it together. They had no, personal. Say it one more time. They had no personal experience with the Lord. Every time I read that, I wonder to myself, how does something like that actually happen? I mean, here's a group of people. God hasn't stopped working. God hasn't stopped speaking. But somewhere along the way, what happened? The people stopped personally going after God. Seeking God, pursuing God. They stopped seeking him and his word and his story and the every 7 years reading the entire story together. And that can happen to you as well and does happen to us. When we don't go after God and seek a personal love relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his son. It's what God invites every single one of us to. And so what you see in the book of Judges after Joshua dies and that generation dies, the next generation comes up, and then you just see through Judges this repeating pattern that Israel, they would drift from God. They weren't intentional about having this personal interaction with God and his story. And they would drift from God. What happens in your life when you drift from God? The same thing that happened to them. Their lives just start falling apart. And as their lives fell apart, they'd finally realize, and God would start to judge them, and they didn't like that. And so they would cry out to God, God, help us and save us. They'd finally kind of like, hey, realize where to turn. And God is a God of grace. And so he lovingly rescued them. And you'd think, okay, get into God and get into God's story, and let's dial in again. But what happened? The drift. That's what happens if we're not intentional. And they start drifting away again. And so that's what happened. Drift, disaster, rescue, repeat. Over and over and over. They drifted from God. And when they drifted from God, they realized, man, I need to be saved, and they needed to be rescued because of the disasters. And then they just get rescued by God and then drift again. And that story with them, if we're honest, is often our story as well. Some of you might be thinking, though, yeah, but Pastor, I hear what you're saying, and kind of, but I don't really have a God problem as much as I just like got a life problem right now. I mean, I got a marriage problem. I got a finances problem. I got an anxiety problem. Maybe. Because if you notice Israel's story, every single time, if you look through, and we're going to do this, every single time that their lives fell apart, the collapse actually started further back than when it actually happened. Their collapse happened in a season where nothing was wrong. They just stopped listening to God. They stopped hearing from God and seeking him and his story. You and I, we want to listen to God when life is amazing. And we want to listen to God when life is not so good and we're struggling. We want to seek God in all seasons, because if you don't live for and seek out God's story, you're going to be living for a story, and it'll be a different story than God's story, and that story is never, ever, ever better than living with God and living in God's story and letting God's story intersect with your story. Israel, they were like, okay, well, generations go by, and then they realize, you know what, maybe our problem is we need a king. And so they decided, let's get kings. Well, that didn't work. King Saul, he drifted. Next king, King David, he loved God, but he stumbled. There's a lot of drift there as well. Next king, King Solomon, he began strong with God, full of wisdom, but he allowed success, that story, to pull his heart away from the Lord, and so he drifted. And after King Solomon, the nation ends up dividing. God's bringing his judgment on them, and generation after generation just kept repeating these same mistakes. And as you read through 1 Chronicles, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, you see some version of this phrase that shows up almost 40 times in those four books. It's the phrase, or some version of it, they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Different kings, but always the same story. Different generations, but the same drift. And so what happened? God eventually allowed Babylon to conquer Jerusalem, to destroy the temple, and to carry his people into exile because of their centuries-long drifting that just led to constant disobedience to God and his word. And even then, God wasn't giving up. He could have, but he didn't. Their exile, or there was discipline from God. It was actually an expression, this discipline was an expression of God's love. And it was ultimately God calling them back to himself. And so 70 years later, after the exile, just as God promised, the people returned to Israel, to Jerusalem. But here's a question, after generations of drift, how do you find your way back to God? How does an entire nation find their way back to God? Some of us, we're here, but there's some of us, let's be real, in our heart and our mind, we've drifted. We're present, but we've drifted from God. Some of us have been drifting from God for decades. How do you find yourself back, find your way back? It's the same answer for them as it is for us. Man, we need to hear from God. We need to hear from the Lord. And so I want to pick up this story, a remarkable story, Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're going to be in chapter 8. In verse 1, it says this. It says, all the people assembled with a unified purpose. So there's something going on right now. What's happening? There's going to be a purpose. Why are they getting together? And they assembled just outside the water gate. Here's what they did. They asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. Ezra didn't have to convince this remnant that God and God's word and his story mattered. There was the people who actually initiated this. Why? Because they finally understood what they had been missing. And what they had been missing, it wasn't another king. It wasn't even just go back to Jerusalem and build the city walls. It wasn't another program or another plan. What were they missing? They were missing the Lord and being a part of God and God's story in their life. God's story just wasn't a part of their life. So I want you to picture this moment. Thousands and thousands of people gathered together there in Jerusalem. You have parents, grandparents, kids, all there together. Most of them have never heard the word of God. Most, if not all of them, have never heard God's word and the story of God read publicly. So Ezra walks out carrying the scrolls. What were those? Most scholars would say that those scrolls were the first five books of the old, what we call the Old Testament, the book of Moses, the same ones that Moses instructed the people. Every 7 years, you get together and read this entire story. And so there they are. The crowd grows quiet. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5 says, Ezra stood on the platform. This platform had been built for this moment in full view of all the people. And when they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet. Nobody told them to stand. But now, there's a group of people. They are just so spiritually starving, so spiritually hungry to hear from God that they stood up with anticipation, believing that God was about to speak to them. And it makes me ask a very difficult question for my own life and something that I wrestle with, and it's something I want you to wrestle with as well. Here's a question that I find myself asking when I read this passage. Do I still approach God's word with that same kind of expectation? Do I actually believe that God wants to actually speak to me through his word? That's a question I want you to wrestle with. Because it's easy to read God's word and go through it and read and read and read and forget about who the author is. Who put it together and why it's there and why it matters and how it's all connected and what does it have it to do with our lives? Have we become so familiar with God's word that we're not really expecting God to speak? Or do we have that spiritual hunger and thirst and drive to say, God, I'm opening your word, your story, and I want you to speak to me? That's what these Israelites were experiencing in that moment. They wanted God to speak and to move and to act. They expected God to do that, and they stood there with anticipation. You know, when we come to church, there's a tendency for us to be in evaluation mode. You may not have ever thought about it this way, but you probably know what I'm talking about. We come and we start evaluating, and it starts like the very first, maybe before this, but it starts the very first song with the music. And we come in and we're like, okay, I like the song, I don't like the song. It's too loud, it's too quiet. I like that singer, sing it, but not that singer. I'm looking at the words, and is that theologically accurate? And there's one word, I don't know if that word should be up there. And so we're doing all of this the entire time evaluating. We're spending more time doing the evaluation than focusing on the one whom the song is meant to elevate and lift up and praise and worship. Because we're in evaluation mode. And you get to the sermon and we're in evaluation mode and we're like, hey, is this the best sermon I ever heard or the second best sermon I've ever heard? We're evaluating the length of the service, the temperature in the room, that person in the section that I sit in that just like, I'm moving out of this section. Some of you are like, man, no one's around me. There's a reason. Because everyone's evaluating you. What if you came in with a different focus? What if you actually came in asking a different question? God, what do you want to say to me today? What if that's how you came every single week? God, what do you want to say to me today? Raise your hand if you think that's going to impact your experience with God. Oh, you better believe it. Amen. Amen. Because God, I want to know you, and I want to know your story and how your story intersects with my story. And that was the Israelites, and that was the challenge they had. It's the challenge you and I have today. The people in Nehemiah's day, they were hungry to hear from God, and to know his story. And so the story was read. And then in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, it says this, the Levites read from the book of the law. So Ezra read, and now they're reading from the book of the law and clearly explain the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage. Understand. You know what that tells me? It tells me that our Heavenly Father, he is not trying to hide from us. Our Heavenly Father doesn't want us to open a tab, to open up lame and go, I have no idea what this is. He wants us to know. That's going to impact you for the rest of your life, isn't it? My bad. But you'll remember it, so. He wants you to know him. He wants you to understand. He wants you to understand the story. Because he wants you to know how it impacts your, how it affects you and your life. And so God wants you to understand. And so that's why we are going through this season, which is we're calling the story. It's the story of God and how the story of God intersects with our story. Our story. Your story. And right about the same time last service, I realized the danger of not preaching an entire month is you come back and you think a 30-minute sermon is actually a two-hour sermon. And so the next three pages of my notes that I'm not going to get to, I'm trying to figure out how to summarize. As Tess was like, I got to get up. Yeah, I'm like, hey, so I got to go do the it's communion time. Thanks for not leading the way, though, and saying, hey, Chris, you're past. It's my time now. But here's the thing. As I fast forward, we want to hear from God. So how do we engage? How do we engage in God's story? A couple of ways that we're inviting you into. We're just wanting you to develop four habits in this season that'll keep you anchored. First is personal. That you will read one chapter of the story. This is the Bible kind of condensed. It's actual scripture. It's just not every single page of it. Read one chapter a week. That's what you do, just like the Israelites. They listened to the word. They read the word and just keep showing up. The second step is really going to be at home, and we're going to invite you to spend conversations in your home with your family or your roommates or whatever and have some conversations around the story. You'd be surprised at how you'd be just shocked how God could take one conversation during the week in your home, how he could take that conversation and how he'll shape it and use it for you and for your family and your friends for generations. Third step is community. We're asking you, join a group. Get in a group. Don't try to understand it by yourself. What happened with all these people who are gathered together? The Levites got everybody in like community groups, so to speak, little story groups, and they started teaching each of the groups to help them understand. So do that. Get in a group so you can ask your questions. This isn't the place to raise your hand and ask a question. We don't do that here. You have to be in a group so you can translate everything that Ezra said. Now let's go talk about it. So be in a group. We grow better. Well, by growing together. And then the last step is worship. man, be here at LifePoint as consistently as you possibly can in this season. And if you can't be here, jump onto YouTube and make sure you follow along and be a part of what God's doing in this story. So God is inviting you to intentionally pursue Him and His story so that you can know how His story intersects with your story, so that this thing goes from a whole bunch of tabs that seem disconnected to something that you understand and you can now live that out. And as you get into God's story and you lean into Him, you experience the life He has for you, life to the fullest, abundant life, real and better life than you can possibly imagine. And if you're intentionally going out, if you intentionally go after that, that's what you will have in your life, because otherwise you will drift. What do you choose? Let's pray.
You can learn more about us by visiting us online at lifepoint.org. If you are ever in the Sacramento area, we would love to see you in person. Events and service times can be found on our website. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us for our next episode.